We could turn, please, to the Gospel of John. John's Gospel and chapter 4. I would like to consider some verses in John chapter 4 before I come to say a few words about Tavistock. But I'll begin by reading John chapter 4 and the verse 31. John 4 and verse 31, and the passage is familiar. The Lord Jesus in Samaria and meeting with the woman of Samaria at Jacob's well. And we begin to read in verse 31, John chapter 4. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, eat." But he said unto them, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look in the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that brawn ye bestowed no labour. Other men laboured, and ye are entered into their labours." Amen. And we'll finish at verse 38. And let us seek the Lord again in prayer. Our gracious Father, as we continue in thy presence in our Saviour's name, we pray that we would indeed day by day be led to Calvary. Pray that we would remember the Saviour's agony, that we would think of him, and that our thoughts and our hearts would ever be towards our Lord and Saviour. We pray in his name, as we consider these words of Scripture that are before us, that we would know the help and enablement of thy Holy Spirit to preach and to understand to receive thy truth, and to know fellowship with thyself. Cleanse us from sin, keep from us distractions, and enable us to consider thy word and to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We pray in our Saviour's name, for his sake. Amen. It is a great encouragement to the Lord's people to know that our Saviour has a real and a true humanity. In John chapter 4, we read of the Lord Jesus travelling through Samaria and being weary in his body. Verse 6 tells us that at midday he stopped to rest at Jacob's well. He was tired from his journey and he was evidently in need of something to eat, as verse 8 tells us that the disciples left the Saviour sitting at the well and they went into the city to buy food. And it's while the disciples were away that the Lord had that wonderful conversation with the woman of Samaria, she who came to the well at that hot time of the day when the others would not be there. And the Lord began speaking to this lady about the ordinary things of life. He asks her to draw him some water from the well to drink. And she's astonished that he, a Jew, would speak to her, a Samaritan. The Lord goes on to tell her that he is able to give to her the living water, that he's able to give to her everlasting life. And she desires to have this living water. And with great compassion, the Lord speaks to her of her sin. The living water, eternal life, can never be received until there is true repentance from sin in the heart. The Lord teaches her that she must leave all other things that she trusts in, her idols, her false religion. She must worship God in spirit and in truth. And he reveals himself to this lady as the Messiah, the Saviour of the world, and she has been graciously brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 27 tells us of the disciples returning from buying food in the city, and they're amazed at the Lord Jesus speaking with this lady. Then verses 28, 29 and 30 tell us of the lady going into the city, back into the city, and speaking of Christ, the man who had told her of all things that she had ever done, and saying, "Is not this the Christ?" And then the disciples speak to the Lord, the one they had left weary at Jacob's well. Verse 31, "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, 'Master, eat.'" They tried to persuade him to eat, and obviously the Lord was so physically weak and tired when they had left him that they felt it necessary to encourage him to eat. The Lord tells them in verse 32, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." Because I have food that you don't know anything about. And the disciples didn't grasp what he meant. Verse 33, "Therefore said the disciples one to another, 'Hath any man brought him aught to eat?'" Then the Lord explains it in verse 34. "Jesus said unto them, 'My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work.'" His food is to do his Father's will and to finish his work. And then the Savior goes on in the verses that follow to speak of the disciples' work for him. And in these verses that we have before us, we have the Savior's teaching about service. The Savior's teaching about service. I'd like to consider that this evening. The Savior's teaching about service. He points them, first of all, to his example. His example. When they try to persuade him to eat some food, he tells them that, "I have food to eat that ye know not of." And we know that food is necessary for life. Without food, the body will become weak and die. Food gives nourishment. It prevents disease. It enables activity. And the Lord reveals to his disciples that there's something that for him is a far greater priority even than food. Something that is more vital. Something that is so essential to his life that it is his very life. Just as food is essential to life continuing, so the Lord says that he has a purpose that is the very essence of his earthly life. Verse 34, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." This is the center of the Savior's life on earth. His one great priority, his all-encompassing purpose, the one thing that was truly vital, doing his Father's will and finishing his work. The Lord Jesus describes it over in John chapter 6 and verse 38. John 6, 38, he said, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Then he goes on, John 6, 39 and 40, to explain the Father's will. "And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." The Savior said, "This is the Father's will for me, to do all that is necessary for the salvation of my people, for the salvation of each one who will trust in me, all that was necessary for the forgiveness of our sins, for peace with God, for us to have a perfect righteousness, for us to one day have a physical resurrection unto eternal life. And what a vast weight of work, what a great burden was placed upon the Savior. This work required of him that he be truly one of us and bear our nature. And so the eternal God walked on this earth as a man, despised and rejected by those that he had made. This work required of him that he, as the perfect man, fulfill all of the law of God on our behalf, keeping every precept not only outwardly but from the heart. This work required of him that he be a preacher of the Word of God, and he preached the Word in the power of the Holy Spirit. This work required of him that he perform those mighty miracles that proved he was the true Messiah sent by God into the world to be the Savior of sinners. And of course, this work required of him that he go to the cross, that he there endure his Father's wrath that was due to our sin, that he bear all of our shame, that he carry all of our guilt, that he endure all of our punishment, that he suffer our hell, that he be bruised and wounded in our place, that by his stripes, through his blood, we would be healed. And how faithfully and how carefully and how thoroughly and how willingly did the Saviour enter into that great work. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. In his prayer before going to the cross, in John 17 and verse 4, the Lord Jesus was able to pray to his Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Calvary was approaching, the culmination of all of his life of service, and the work was so sure of being finished that in the mind of God it was finished already. And when in time his sufferings and his pain and his agony were all past, before he died, he was able to say, it is finished. And 3 days later to rise again from the dead in glorious victory, having perfectly finished the work that he had been sent to do. And the Saviour said, this work, with all of its burden and shame and suffering and pain, this work is my food. This work is my life. In this work I delight. You don't know about this, but this is my one great mission, to do my Father's will. Because he did that work and finished it and didn't turn back, we are saved today. And if we ever needed a reason to serve the Lord, or if we ever needed a reason to keep going when knocked back by disappointments and discouragements, we only need to look at our Saviour as the perfect example of service, the one who carried that great burden of work on our behalf. He said, this is my meat, this is my food, this is everything to me, to do my Father's will and to finish his work. And may we ever look to his great example when we think of how we should serve him. We've also his exhortation. He exhorted the disciples in verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look in the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And having revealed something about his own unique heart of service, he then exhorts the disciples about their service, and he tells them not to delay serving him. He explains that the spiritual work of harvest is not some way off in the future, but it is today. And he spoke to them of how people would talk of the harvest, the physical harvest. They would expect it 4 months after the sowing, and 4 months after the sowing, the wheat in particular, it would turn white when it was ready for the time of gathering in. But the Lord says, don't think of the spiritual harvest in those terms. Don't think that it's some way off yet. But he says, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He exhorts them to look up and to look out and to look around them with spiritual eyes and to see lost souls all around them and to see the urgency of labouring in the spiritual harvest field on that day. He says, I am always working on your behalf. My life is entirely service to my Father for your salvation, but don't neglect your service. Don't miss the opportunities that are before you. Don't forget the urgency of service today and to see the harvest, we have to look up or lift up our eyes and look. It's what the Saviour said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And there's so many things in all aspects of life that we fail to see because we don't look. The Saviour says, lift up your eyes and look. And if you looked, you would see. You would see the need. You would see the opportunity. You would see souls who are perishing. You would see that there is work to be done today. And he says, make service your priority. Make winning souls your aim. This is the work that the Saviour did when he was weary at Jacob's well. When he was exhausted, he thought of the need of this lost soul, this lady that came to the well. He thought of her need before his own need for rest and for food. He met with her in the ordinary course of life and spoke to her about the things of God. And he exhorts his disciples and us to do the same, to make service our great priority, to be looking upon the fields, to look on life and on our lives in spiritual terms, to see it all in terms of the harvest, and to live for the Lord where he has placed us, in whatever way we can, to serve him. So we have his example and we have his exhortation, and then finally, regarding his teaching about service, we have his encouragement. His encouragement, he encourages the disciples as he exhorts them to work for him. He says in verse 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. He encourages them about the rewards of service. He says, and he that reapeth receiveth wages. He says there are wages for your service in the spiritual harvest field. And the Lord is no man's debtor. He provides wages in the ordinary sense that we would think of those. He provides for the material needs of his servants. But he gives wages in other ways to all who serve him. That wonderful sense of his presence, a sense of purpose and fulfillment in life, the fellowship we have with other labourers as we work for the Lord. There's much effort in service. Service is not easy. Service is work. But the Lord says there are wages. There is a reward. While there are aspects of that reward we receive here in this life, the reward lies mainly in eternity for the Lord's servants. Notice what the Lord says, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. And serving in the spiritual harvest field, we have the privilege of labouring in an eternal work. Through our labours and our witness and our prayers, whatever it is we do for the Lord, seeing souls saved eternally, that work is never lost. We may labour for things in this world. We may see them built up in our lifetime, and in a few years they may all be taken away. But the spiritual work is never lost. Gathereth fruit unto life eternal. And one day, each one of us who have served the Lord, we will be joined in heaven by those that were saved in the sovereignty of God, using our labours in some way. And what a blessing to be involved in a work that has an eternal value. The privilege of seeing souls reached for the Saviour, who will then never be lost. The Lord speaks to his disciples about the eternal rejoicing over the rewards of service in spite of all the labour. He says in verse 36 that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. The labour's hard, but the rejoicing will be great. And those that sowed and those that reaped will one day rejoice together over what the Lord has done. There is a day of rejoicing ahead of us in heaven. And we may not have much cause to rejoice today. And these may be days of darkness and trouble and struggle and seemingly of little reward in the service of the Lord. But one day there will be a day of rejoicing when we are in heaven, when we're with the Saviour, when all of the struggles are past, and we will rejoice with those that we have laboured with, those who have sowed, and those that have reaped. We will all rejoice together over what the Lord has done as we gather in the Father's house and we see the sheaves brought in. There is a day of rejoicing ahead of each one of the Lord's servants. Each one has a different role to play. Verse 37, and herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. We don't all do the same work. Some have a sowing ministry, faithfully preaching the word of life, sowing the good seed, but some laborers may not see much response. However, through the faithful preaching of God's word, a foundation is laid that prepares the way for some other servant who will reap as he preaches the word of God. He will see responses. He will see souls converted. And the Lord teaches his disciples here that others have done so much preparation work for them in their preaching ministries. He said in verse 38, I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labour. Other men laboured, and ye are entered into their labours. The prophets of the Old Testament, preachers like Noah and Abraham and Moses and Isaiah, right up to John the Baptist, they had preached about the Saviour. They had sowed the good seed of God's word. They had suffered much in the Lord's service. And the Lord says to his disciples, you're not going to start the work. You're going to enter into the labours of others. Others have preached before you. Others have lived lives of holiness before you. They have prepared the soil. They have sowed the seed. You're going to enter into their labours. And their labours are going to make your work so much more productive and so much more blessed. What an encouragement for Christian service. Wherever we are, we have a goodly heritage. We benefit in so many ways from all of those Christians who have gone before us. They've laboured. Many of them have suffered and have died in serving the Lord. We benefit from their example. We benefit from the impact that they made on society and upon the church. We benefit from the books that they left and their learning and their teaching and all that they have passed on to those, us, those who have succeeded them. And wherever we serve the Lord, we are entering into the labours of others, and that makes our labour so much easier, so much more productive. And what an encouragement for us to labour. Yes, there is the day of rejoicing coming, but we're entering into the labours of others, and let us labour faithfully, whatever task the Lord gives us, earnestly and faithfully and diligently, that we will leave a legacy behind us, that others can enter into our labours and the work will continue. It is a great privilege to be a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I never expected to be a missionary in Uganda. That was another privilege. But the Lord opened the door to go to Uganda when I came to the end of my time in Bible college in 2016. And in the years that we were there, short years, the Lord gave many, many opportunities to speak for him and to preach the word. And when my health didn't permit us to continue in Uganda, it was very sad to leave, very difficult to leave a land that you've been called to and people that you've been burdened for and have preached the word to. It's not easy to leave that behind, and yet at the same time we were happy to leave and happy to go, because we were fully persuaded that the work that the Lord had for us to do there, our part, was done. And we accepted that in the Lord's will. And having then brought us back from Uganda, I didn't expect the Lord to send us out again to somewhere beyond Northern Ireland, but that was to change. Reverend Patrick Baker, who is the chairman of the Mainland Commission and minister in charge of the church in Tavistock, he contacted me early in 2020, perhaps late January, maybe February. It was 2 or 3 months or so after we had come back from Uganda, and he asked me to consider the work in Tavistock. But I felt no leading from the Lord in that direction, and so that's what I told Reverend Baker. But I did say that I would pray about it, not because I had any great expectation of going to Tavistock. Really, in my own mind, I thought it wouldn't really work out. But I said I would pray about it because I thought in principle should be willing to go anywhere if it is the Lord's will. So Reverend Baker booked me then to preach in Tavistock in September of 2020 for one Sunday. So in the months leading up to that, I did pray about Tavistock, and I have to say it was without any personal inclination in that direction, and it was really with this feeling it couldn't really be suitable for us to go away again from Northern Ireland. It wouldn't work out. Really thinking that nothing would come from this suggestion. But very slowly, over a number of months, the Lord brought me to see that he was calling me to Tavistock to preach there. One scripture that the Lord had impressed upon my mind as we were leaving Uganda was Psalm 121, that wonderful psalm that begins, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." Speaks of the Lord as our helper and our keeper and our protector. And then it ends in verse 8, "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And the Lord was faithful to every word in Psalm 121 in our time in Uganda. He took us out and he kept us when we were there, and he brought us back in again. And slowly, as I considered this psalm and other scriptures, the Lord brought me to see that he was sending me out again. The Lord shall preserve thy coming in and thy going out. And it was really the same call that the Lord had called us to go out in the first place. When we first went out, the Lord called us with Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, as we went to Uganda, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And so the Lord brought me to see that my work is to preach the gospel wherever he sends me. And he's with me wherever I go. And that he was now sending me to Tavistock. We were able to visit Tavistock then in September 2020. And in the providence of the Lord, the one Sunday that I was booked to be there became 3 Sundays. And the Lord blessed our time there and confirmed in so many ways that it was his will for us to serve him there. So when we came back then to Northern Ireland, I contacted Reverend Baker late September last year and indicated that my mind had changed and that I did now think that the Lord was calling us to Tavistock. And he said, "Well, that's good, but we'd maybe need to check with the congregation that they are of a similar mind, otherwise it wouldn't really work out." So contact was established with the congregation that they were happy and favourable for us to come and preach the word to them. And so the Lord, in his providence and in his grace, has led the way and arranged the circumstances for us to go to Tavistock. It is in Devon, in the southwest of England, and to minister in the congregation there. That brings me to the end of what I'll say at this point, and we'll come to video. It's 7 minutes long, but it will give a little bit more background to the town of Tavistock itself and also to the history of the congregation there, and then I'll say a few words after. Thank you.
The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 4 verse 38, "Other men laboured, and ye are entered into their labours." That is certainly true of the ministry at Tavistock. Others have laboured in the establishing and maintaining of the work over many years, and we will be entering into their labours.
Tavistock is a picturesque market town in Devon in the southwest of England, and it has a long history stretching back over 1,000 years. The town is situated on the edge of Dartmoor National Park, and so all around there is breathtaking scenery.
Sir Francis Drake was born on a farm close to Tavistock. He became the first Englishman to circumnavigate the globe, and for this feat, along with his role in the English victory over the Spanish Armada in 1588, he is commemorated in the centre of the town and also in the nearby city of Plymouth. Tavistock is a town with many blessings and advantages, but the greatest need of the people in the town of Tavistock is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, to learn of their need of Him, their need of repentance from sin, and their need to turn from all other things that they trust in to the true and living God.
The Free Presbyterian Witness in Tavistock began in 1988. The Hamilton family, who were from Omagh Free Presbyterian Church, had moved to Tavistock in 1986. They had a burden for a Free Presbyterian Witness in the area. Initial inquiries were followed up by a visit from the Reverend Hillis Fleming and Reverend David Park. This led to a gospel mission being conducted in September 1988, with the students of the Whitfield College of the Bible supporting the two preachers in the evangelistic outreach. This gospel mission marked the commencement of the Free Presbyterian Witness in Tavistock. Reverend David Smith was the church's first minister, arriving in 1989 and labouring for 11 and a half years. Reverend Philip Kyle ministered for 3.5 years between 2001 and 2005. Services were initially held in a local school, and for the past 8 years, the meetings have been taking place in the Guide Hall in the centre of the town. Visiting preachers have filled the pulpit over the past years. A faithful gospel witness has been maintained in Tavistock for over 3 decades. And now, it is my privilege to be sent by the Lord to enter into the labours of others, to be a pastor to His people and a preacher of His word. Pray that the Lord's presence will be known in the worship services, that His people will be encouraged, and that the Holy Spirit's power will be evident in evangelism. Tavistock is famous for its pannier market, which operates a number of days each week and has various market stalls
which attract crowds from far and wide. It is hoped that it will be possible to have a Christian bookstall in the market at least one day each week. The congregation of Tavistock Free Presbyterian Church has shown great faithfulness to the Lord and his cause. The Lord has given encouragements and has kept his promise never to leave or forsake those for whom he shed his blood and died. We now look to the Lord to lead his people forward in the way that they should go. Pray that the Lord will seek and save lost souls from the town of Tavistock and the surrounding area, that he will add them to the congregation to be living witnesses for him.
Given a little bit more of the background to the congregation and of the need of the work. Tavistock is not a very large town. The census 10 years ago said the population was 12,000. It's a large country area, country market town, many other towns and villages all around, and then only about 12 miles from the city of Plymouth, which is quite a large city, large population. Pray that we will be able to fit in among the people in the right sense, and to be able to relate to them and fit in among them as an Ulster man who's lived in Uganda going to preach to English men and women, that we'll be able to adjust and they'll be able to adjust. And pray that we will have effective opportunities for evangelism. The book table is mentioned, and it would be a great opportunity if we were able to do that. It has been done in the past, and during the summer season when there are many, many tourists in the town and in the area, the book table would be a good way of reaching them as well as people from the local town. I pray that there will be other openings and that the Lord will give wisdom in how best to reach the town and people, those who will never come into church, that we will be able to reach them and be able to bring the gospel to them. There is a need for sound biblical preaching and worship in Tavistock. It appears, without knowing a great deal about it, there appears to be what you'd expect in the town, a mixture of ecumenical, contemporary, Pentecostal type worship, all different kinds, and no doubt plenty of liberal preaching. There are evangelicals in the southwest of England, dotted about here and there. They're faithfully serving the Lord, and we would hope to be able to stand with them and encourage them also as they seek to serve the Lord. Pray for the people there in Tavistock, that they will be encouraged and that they will be built up. They have laboured on through a long vacancy, and they have been a very faithful band of the Lord's people, and pray that they will see reward from their labours and that they will see others added to the congregation and the work going forward. God willing, we hope to travel across in September. We're conducting deputation meetings through until the end of July, and pray that the preparations will go well. There are prayer cards at the door on your way out, and if the Lord places it on your heart, then please do remember us in prayer. maybe one or two of the things that have been mentioned tonight, keep them before the Lord. We would appreciate that very much. I do thank you for the opportunity to be here once again, and for your time and for your attention. We trust that the Lord will continue to bless each one of you here as you seek to live for the Lord in this place. We're going to come now to a time of prayer, and we'll seek the Lord together. And you will know the needs of the congregation here. You can bring those before the Lord, and let us seek the Saviour. Our loving Father, we come before thee again in our Saviour's name. We give thanks for the opportunity to be here, to have even a desire in our hearts to be in the house of God and to seek thy face in prayer. We know that these things do not come naturally to us, that we would desire to serve thee and to seek thy face in prayer and to honour thee. We know that this is thy goodness and thy grace in these sinful hearts of ours. We give thanks to thee for the work that thou hast done in us already, and we know that thou art the one who is faithful to complete that work. We give thanks that thou art the one who is able to keep us from falling. One day that we will be presented faultless before thy face. We give thanks for our Saviour. We pray that we will be enabled to labour for him, to serve him with all of our hearts. We remember the cause of Christ in Tavistock. We give thanks that it has been brought into being, preserved over the past 3 decades. We give thanks for the witness that there has been, the encouragements, and for the preaching of thy word, for thy servants who have laboured there. And we pray that thou must be with them tonight, encourage them, and we pray that in coming days that it would please thee to take the work forward in thy will. Remember all of the labours here in Dromore. Remember thy servant, Reverend Foster, as he preaches the word week by week. And in his pastoral work, we pray that he would know thy help, the power of the Holy Spirit, thy hand upon him for good. We think of the community round about, many with no thought of their soul, many with no concern for eternity, many living for many things and living a life perhaps of respectability on the outside, and yet no true conversion in the heart, no repentance from sin, no knowledge of Christ. And we fear for them. We fear for many in our land, those who have turned their backs on gospel opportunity, those who have sinned against great blessings and sinned against thy goodness in so many ways. And we pray for mercy. Have mercy upon us, we pray. We know that we do not deserve thy mercy, that we are thoroughly deserving of thy wrath, and yet we pray for mercy in these days. Mercy upon those around us who are yet in their sin. Mercy upon us, thy people, that we would walk in thy ways. We would serve thee with all of our hearts. Bless us now in our time of prayer. Grant to us faith, and lead us even in those things that we should ask for. We pray in our Saviour's name, for his sake. Amen.